Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are now up to chapter 4 in the book Once Upon a Journey by Rabbi Zalman Ritterman. It is called An Orphan from Birth. Immediately after the debate with the priest, Reb Wolf and his wife disappeared as if the earth had swallowed them. The people of the village were saddened at the loss of their protector. They did not know that Reb Wolf, the wise shoemaker, had not abandoned them. He worried from afar that in his absence, the priest would renew his pressure on the Jews of the town. Reb Wolf's fears were well-founded. Still hurting from his defeat at the hands of the shoemaker, the priest was determined to be victorious. As soon as he realized that Reb Wolf had left, he resumed his speeches in the marketplace, demanding that the Jews convert to his faith. Seeing that nothing came of these speeches, he began to hint, "Don't be surprised if bad things will happen if you continue with your stubbornness." Soon, the hints became open threats of pogroms, persecution, and murder. It was a midsummer day. The peasants were preparing to harvest their crops when an urgent announcement was heard. All were to assemble in the regular meeting place without exception. Once again, the Jews of the village were forced to listen to the priest, bringing proofs of the truth of his religion. Once again, he demanded that they convert for their own good. And this time, the priest had a partner. The son of the Paritz had joined the priest. He was more learned and even more wicked than the priest. He rose and supported the priest's proofs. His eyes sparkled with an evil excitement as he announced, "The moment of truth has come." It was clear that any Jew that would not agree to convert would be seriously harmed. The Jews stood lost and terrified. They felt that they were caught in a net with no way of escape. The time before, a miracle had saved them. But how often could they count on a miracle? "One moment," a familiar voice rang out. As one man, the Jews of the village turned towards the voice. No, it was not a dream. The beloved shoemaker himself stood before them. He had reappeared like an angel from heaven. The priest stared in shock at Reb Wolf. His face turned white as chalk. He began to breathe heavily. In a choked voice, he asked, What are you doing here?" "You will soon know," Reb Wolf replied calmly. As before, Reb Wolf confronted the priest fearlessly. One by one, he destroyed his arguments and proofs until the priest stood embarrassed and defeated once again. Then, Reb Wolf gazed sternly at the priest. "I am a simple shoemaker. Every Jew in this town could have answered you as I did. But they are afraid to speak up because you have terrorized them with your threats. I come from another town, so I have dared to stand up for my brothers and tell you the truth. Give up your pressure on the Jews. You will never succeed. Deal with your own people and leave us be." The grateful villagers begged Reb Wolf to remain with them at least for a while to prevent the priest from repeating his evil plan for the third time. To their delight, Reb Wolf agreed to stay on for a while. Little did they know that their joy was not destined to last for long. It happened on a muggy summer evening. The air was still heavy from the burning heat of the day. Three burly policemen stormed into the Beis Medrash where Reb Wolf was sitting and learning. They grabbed Reb Wolf and violently dragged him to the town prison. "Explanations will come later," they said curtly. The people of the village were in turmoil. They realized that Reb Wolf was paying the price for defending them against the priest. Reb Wolf's terrified wife arrived at the prison, begging the guards to release her husband or at least tell her why he had been arrested. Their only reply was, "Orders from above." In a few days, it all became clear. The priest, burning for revenge along with his friend, the son of the Paritz, had hatched a plot against Reb Wolf. They accused him of cursing their religion. In those days, there could not be a more serious accusation against the Jew. A public trial was speedily arranged in the city of Kiev. The accusing lawyer demanded the death penalty for the crime. The judges had seemingly ruled against Rebolf even before the court case. They immediately agreed to the demands of the accuser. Within a few days, the verdict was carried out before a large crowd. The Jews of Kiev, as well as the Rav of the city and its honored members, were forced to witness the scene. Silently, the Jews watched as Rebolf was burned alive because he had dared to stand up with Mesiras Nefesh for his oppressed fellow Jews. Rebolf, the Talmud Chacham and hidden tzaddik, now received another name as well. He would be remembered as Rebolf HaKadosh, who gave his life al Kiddush Hashem. The events of Rebolf's sacrifice became known far and wide in Jewish communities, leaving a deep impression on all who heard it. Then, people were shocked to hear another chapter in the story. Rebolf had longed all his life for a child. Now, after his passing, he left behind a widow who was awaiting the birth of their first child. It was decreed in heaven that Rebolf HaKadosh's child would be an orphan from birth. The widow decided to return to her hometown, Lubavitch. Soon after, her child was born and was named after his holy father. Little Wolf was a bright, gifted child with shining eyes and a sweet nature. He was too young to understand his bitter lot. When he was 3 years old, his mother became sick and passed away suddenly. The child was now alone in the world without mother or father. Little Wolf was alone, but not abandoned. The kind people of Lubavitch quickly offered to care for the young orphan. Reb Tzvi Aryeh and Leah Brina, the young couple who had inherited the home of Reb Binyamin the peddler, won the privilege and great mitzvah to care for Little Wolf. If you recall, Reb Binyamin had made 3 conditions with the couple in order to inherit his house. One of these conditions was to raise orphan children in their home. The couple also remembered that Rebolf had been Reb Binyamin's trusted friend and companion. They clearly saw the hand of Hashem in allowing them to raise the son of the holy tzaddik in the home they had inherited.